Your questions, your health. This is Mind Matters.
Hello, and welcome to Mind Matters. This is Maisa Hana's second in a series of podcasts focusing on mental health topics that affect the South Asian community. My name is Vikram Harish, and I will be your host for a delightful program today where we will be discussing the topic of anxiety with none other than the founder and executive director of Maisa Hana. Before I introduce our guest and the topic, first let me introduce Maisa Hana. Maisa Hana, which means my fortitude or patience in Sanskrit, is a certified 501c3 nonprofit organization that is dedicated to reducing stigmas and increasing awareness around emotional health and wellness in the South Asian community. Through its website, www.maisahana.org, newsletters, as well as various outreach activities, Maisa Hana employs easy-to-understand descriptions of emotional health issues, as well as culturally sensitive coping strategies to empower the South Asian community to realize their inner fortitude, take charge of their mental health, and make better and more informed decisions for a healthy lifestyle. The topic we'll be discussing today is anxiety, and here to share some insights with us is the founder and executive director of Maisa Hana, Parijot Deshpande. Parijot is a marriage and family consultant who has a master's degree in clinical psychology from San Francisco State University and founded Maisa Hana in 2010. Parijot, how are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Excellent. So, anxiety, I have to admit, just to be transparent, I might use that word freely and not really know exactly what it means. And I feel like there might be a lot of more people in that same camp. Can you help us understand, define anxiety, and let us know if the symptoms are similar for South Asians as well as non-South Asians?
Definitely. So anxiety is basically a feeling of worry or unease, apprehension, nervousness, anything like that, that's usually, but not always, in anticipation of an event or an outcome. So you might feel anxiety when you're waiting for a test result or when you are waiting to hear if your fiancé is going to say yes when you propose the question. But it's a very common symptom, or it's a very common experience that is part of everybody's daily life that happens once in a while. Anxiety is normal. It's anxiety disorders that are going to be what we focus on at Maisa Hana, and those are the ones that become problematic. And anxiety disorders are when the anxiety is not managed properly and it affects the way that you function on a day-to-day level. So common symptoms, interestingly, are actually different for South Asians than they are for non-South Asians. South Asians primarily have symptoms that are psychosomatic, which means that they present their symptoms through their body instead of through other means. So we see a lot of dizziness, feeling unsteady on your feet, maybe feeling like you're choking, your face is really flushed, or there's a heat in your head, your head's really hot, stomach pains, feeling faint. Those are all very common symptoms of anxiety in South Asians. Outside of that, there are a lot of other symptoms that can be present aside from those, and they can include cognitive symptoms, which are things like negative thinking, expecting the worst, negative self-talk, which can lead to low self-esteem or ruminating over mistakes. There can be emotional symptoms such as feeling really hopeless or feeling very irritable, and the most common behavioral symptom is avoiding any situation that causes anxiety for you.
Interesting. Now, would you say that these symptoms are also the same in children as well as adults?
They're similar. They're definitely similar. Mild to moderate anxiety is a very normal part of development for children and teens. Things like stranger anxiety, being afraid of the dark, or being nervous on the first day of school are all completely normal. These anxieties pass as the child matures, but anxiety that is debilitating and results in any of the earlier symptoms and causes the child to have difficulty getting through the day is when anxiety should be addressed immediately for children and teens as well as for adults.
You mentioned anxiety being quite prevalent. This is something that everyone experiences in their lifetime. What are the consequences of ignoring anxiety?
Ignoring mild to moderate anxiety, there's no consequences. Our bodies are made for short-term bursts of nervousness and worry and angst. Ignoring the more severe anxiety is where we start to see a lot of the consequences. Physically, it's very taxing on the body. Being anxious or worrying for an extended period of time, usually at least a week more often than not, our cortisol levels are high, which is the stress hormone, which means our bodies are in a very stressed out kind of situation for a long time. That stress affects the way that our bodies function. And truthfully, our bodies begin to break down. We are more likely to get sick. It affects our heart. It is associated with poor eating habits, which can lead to diabetes and obesity, which you can imagine is especially problematic for children. And because South Asians tend to have physical symptoms of anxiety more often than not, they tend to go untreated because the treating physicians, psychologists, and psychiatrists are not always aware that that's what's happening, and it is actually anxiety as opposed to a physical problem. Emotionally, anxiety is associated with low self-esteem because there is so much negative self-talk, as well as avoidance of situations that are causing this worry or this discomfort that comes with anxiety. That is then associated with losing confidence in the ability to do day-to-day things or things that you used to be good at before. The irritability that comes with anxiety can definitely negatively affect your relationships, and all of this can increase isolation and ultimately develop into depression if it's not treated properly.
It sounds like an opportunity where there should be coordination of care between one's psychologist or psychiatrist and a primary care physician to make sure they're addressing any symptoms.
Definitely.
So how do I know I'm experiencing mild to moderate anxiety versus severe anxiety?
Mild to moderate anxiety is normal. It's what you feel when there are big events in your life. They can be positive or negative, like we talked about, if you're getting ready to pop a big question, if you're getting ready to get married, if you are looking to change jobs, or you're trying to start up your college career. Anything that's a big life event is associated with anxiety sometimes. And those mild to moderate symptoms of feeling uneasy or of worrying, they don't tend to last for very long. Couple days at most, possibly until you get the result that you're looking for, and then it goes away. And most importantly, it doesn't affect how you get through the day. When we start to look at anxiety disorders, which is what becomes problematic, that is when your anxiety is beyond mild to moderate. And the number one way to know if you are trending in that direction is if you can answer the question, is it affecting how I live my life? If you are not able to eat the way you used to, sleep the way that you used to, if you are avoiding people or places that you did not avoid before, if you are just having trouble getting through the day, it's just as simple as that. It's when the answer to that is yes, is when we need to start looking at how we can get some intervention to help you feel better.
Can you describe what exactly is a panic attack?
Sure. Panic attacks are one sign of severe anxiety. It's a specific type of symptom where you can present in a multitude of ways. Most commonly, people feel like they're choking or they can't breathe, and panic attacks are often mistaken for a heart attack. Mostly, people call 911 or the ER or run to their doctor because they think they're having some kind of heart problem when in fact it's a panic attack. Experiencing one panic attack often leads to a fear of a future panic attack because they are so debilitating and so scary to go through the first time. And if left untreated, these panic attacks and the fear of future panic attacks can escalate and create significant problems in how you get through the day and even relate to other people.
In your experiences, have individuals in the South Asian community been open to talking about anxiety and receiving assistance or treatment? And if not, you know, what can someone do?
From my experience, I think there's a misunderstanding about anxiety that it's something you can just snap out of. If it's a mild to moderate day-to-day normal kind of anxiety, absolutely, it's something that will come and go and will pass without intervention. Anxiety that's worse than that definitely needs some kind of help from outside professionals, and it's important that South Asians are able to do that. And I think the more aware that South Asians are about the signs and symptoms of anxiety, the more likely we will see people reaching out for help and actually mm-hmm. ultimately living a healthier life.
But I have to imagine, though, it's hard for oneself to diagnose and to see the symptoms in myself, for instance. So it may be that one's friends or families might be the first to really notice the symptoms. And what can a family member or a friend do when they suspect anxiety symptoms?
I think it's important to reach out to the person that you care about and let them know that you are concerned, that you're noticing certain changes in their mood, their behavior. You're noticing maybe that they're avoiding going to parties when they used to be very social before, or they've suddenly stopped going to school because it was increasing their anxiety. And I think most importantly, it's crucial that everybody is aware of the signs and symptoms, first of all. And then definitely approaching them with compassion and offering to help however you can.
And just kind of making sure that they know that they can be open to communicate with you.
Absolutely.
So how, taking it to the next level then, how would you decide if professional help may be warranted?
As we've talked about, anxiety on a mild to moderate level, once in a while, completely normal. If you start to notice that your nervousness or your feeling of worry or unease is affecting the way that you function on a day-to-day level, it's very important that you seek professional help. This can look like you're not sleeping as well, and that's continuing for at least a week. If you are not eating the way you used to, sometimes that can be eating much more than before, or it can be eating less. You are avoiding places or people that you did not used to avoid before. If it's affecting how you used to live, then it's very important that you reach out.
I see. And are there specific therapists that specialize in anxiety, or where can one find a list of therapists that might be able to help if one is looking?
A lot of therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists are well-versed and well-trained in treating anxiety. And if you log on to our website, mysahana.org, on our resources page, we have numerous therapists and psychologists, psychiatrists, and even physicians who are also well-versed in the South Asian culture who are available to help.
And once someone kind of makes that step and reaches out for help from a professional, what kind of questions should someone ask when seeking help?
The best thing to do is actually to approach this professional and be honest about your experiences. And once they are aware of what is going on for you, they will be able to use their professional experience to help find a solution to overcome your anxiety. Usually identifying the source of anxiety is a good first step to begin.
And how would someone know if the treatment's working and the symptoms are getting better?
You'll start feeling better. You'll feel less angst, less nervous. If you were experiencing panic attacks in the past, those should become less frequent and less intense. You might feel an improved mood, and you'll just see that getting through the day is going to be a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. So there would be like a physical as well as emotional effect and positive.
Definitely.
In the positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Parashat, this has been a fantastic discussion. How can our listeners learn more about anxiety and a variety of other topics that may impact their families and friends?
MySahana.org is a great place to start. We focus on all kinds of emotional health issues, including anxiety, that pertain to South Asians, and we have quite a number of articles on various topics. And if there's another topic that you are interested in, we're happy to approach that as well.
Excellent. And indeed, there is a wealth of information on the website, MySahana.org. And I would recommend our audience sign up for the monthly email newsletter, which includes interesting articles and even recipes of the month that utilize key ingredients to promote well-being. But most important, when visiting the website, you will see a donation button. And we encourage everyone to donate to this worthy organization. Your donation is tax deductible and will go towards fighting misinformation on mental health topics in the South Asian community. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we look forward to you tuning in for our next podcast.
Mind Matters is a radio show produced by Mai Sahana. To learn more about Mai Sahana, visit www.maisahana.org.